Thank you. I am a faculty at the University of Florida. I'm stationed at the Research Center in Apopka now. The Orange County area is Orlando, so that'll give you an idea. This study is a follow-up to my dissertation, which I finished in 2013. So we followed up. The dissertation did a focus group with actual homeowners, and so this is a comparison to the homeowners versus the actual HOA board members. So this is a qualitative research study using focus groups. We do that because focus groups can actually invite a deeper, richer conversation versus a survey where they just color in the dot or click on something, and you know, sometimes one person will say something and it starts a whole other conversation, and it really reviews some other things that are maybe hidden in the conversation. It's a purposive sample. So we have an HOA board listings that through the state of Florida, and they gave us the list, and then we recruited from the list. We did four focus groups, 42 participants, and 31 different homeowner associations were represented. The cool thing was 27 of those were the same HOAs that were in the first study. So here's what happens. We talked about water conservation, and we wanted to get their feelings about water conservation because we found in the first study that HOA board members are very powerful, and they actually came out as the number one barrier why people can't seem to conserve more water. So this is HOA President Frank. Frank was a very vocal guy and very opinionated. And he said, we have a community that has very strict laws, covenants regarding maintenance of the yards. We are still building. What they've done now is they're doing Augustine in the front, which is a St. Augustine grass, and Bahia in the back. And by doing that, we help people conserve. And all that data, you know, it's available on the University of Florida site. I have their whole book and brochures about all the different Florida-friendly things. Well, Florida-friendly landscapes is our, you know, right plant, right place, do the right thing, low-impact landscaping. Okay, so here's what's interesting. In 2013, when I did the research, we found that the pressure from the HOA to have perfect grass was their number one barrier to conserving water. We suspected that they had a lack of knowledge about proper grass care by the variety of grasses. There was a lot of confusion over what day to water. Well, we have some people using reclaimed water. They can use it every day. We have commercial and municipalities using it on different days. And so when they have restrictions and they're told they're 2 days a week or one day when they go to the summer the winter, then they were confused over what to do when. We thought this too. They don't know how to use their irrigation clock. Okay? So those are major themes that came from the first study, and I want you to think about this, because if they don't know how to take care of one grass, why would you give them two different ones that have totally opposite requirements? Because Bahia grass in the backyard is going to use less water, but if they don't know how to use their clock, are they going to readjust the timer? No. Are they going to readjust the setting on the mower? No. Are they going to change weed and feed? I don't think so. They're having a hard time doing that with one grass. So they're going to end up having some issues down the line if they don't realize those differences. Again, frustration with lawn maintenance because they have to have a perfect grass, or the HOA has a neon-colored sign on their front door so the whole neighborhood knows they're mad at them. And they're just totally unaware about how much water their irrigation system puts out. So, again, lots of issues on just using the clock. Other comments. This was kind of interesting. Lori and her husband are on an HOA board, and they told us they were leftover hippies. They were probably in their early 70s, and they actually were kind of cool. They took it upon themselves, and at the front entrance of their subdivision, they went with what they called a xeriscape, but they actually were doing kind of just more native plants for Florida. Plants required very minimum water, which they get mostly from the rain, and it just rocks. It also was a way to show the residents that this could be done using drought-resistant plants. Okay, so people think drought-resistant plants look like weeds and can't be pretty, but you can demonstrate a way to make them work. Another person said something about using Asiatic jasmine, and we encourage that a lot in shade. It's a vine. It's just like St. Augustine. It lives in the shade. It lives in drought. I have found that I haven't found any bugs or diseases get on it. So I think it's really a powerful way to conserve water and keep green in your yard. So there's some, the thing is here, we're hearing some good news from some of these guys. Some other things, Rogers was originally from the islands, and he was young. He was in his 30s. Water-wise ordinance that was put into place to reduce the amount of consumption of water, which is basically forced new developments, for example. They had a percentage as far as high-tolerant, low-tolerant types of grasses. So what that he's referring to is that the new landscape ordinances are saying if you're a brand new subdivision, you can't put beyond a certain percentage of turf grass in your yard. So, you know, that is something they've tried to do to help institute less water use. But then he went on to say that he's in a subdivision not too far from my research center where they have the St. Augustine in the front yard and Bahay in the back, but it couldn't exceed 50% of the yard, and went on to say that they were using reclaimed water and they were using so much of it that they had to restrict the reclaimed water use. So they're trying to give them two different types of grass to conserve water. They're trying to give them reclaimed water, and they're still not getting the right effect, okay? All right, so in 2013, we talked about, we gathered the norms. What do people do in their lives, and what happens in their house and their neighborhood? And most people will try to abide by the norms. What would be by norms is that if everybody mows their grass and keeps the leaves swept up, they're going to do that, just because that's the normal pressure from living in the neighborhood. And the other norm, if you noticed, is have a nice lawn. So somebody's telling them they have to do extra work to have a nice lawn. Sub-themes were conserve water by following the restrictions, and they knew what behaviors were not conservation practices, and that was really cool. They knew that if the irrigation head was watering the road, or if it was broken and it was a big old geyser, they knew that people were watering on the wrong days. There was all kinds of things that they told us that they understood as norms. So here's what we did. This is about Florida-friendly practices. We wanted to see if they understood what Florida-friendly practices were and who provided the program. So we showed them these pictures on big poster boards and asked them for their opinions on what this landscape looked like. So this is A. Out of all the folks that did this study, we had 14 approvals. They said it was well-maintained and better maintenance. So, you know, easier for them to take care of. So what you can't tell is that that is surrounded by Asiatic jasmine on the backside of the sidewalk. So there is low maintenance there, but it's still green. And unfortunately, in the front, what you can't see is they've planted some lantana and they're using pine straw. So not bad. This is the other one. So this one, as you can tell, it is full of a lot of native plants. There's no design. They're just kind of there. It does look more like a Florida yard, and it was not boring. However, three people would have preferred something between the two. All right, so something not quite as crazy looking as the bottom one, but not quite as tailored as the top. All right, so here we go, another set of pictures. So this one had 18 people give us an approval. Comments were less maintenance because it looks natural. Somebody said no, but it looked too cluttered. And then, because they're on the board, possess the security threat came up, and it came up in every single session a few times. This one had 16 approvals, and yet the comments said too much stuff, needed more color, needed a more manicured look, and maybe could be less maintenance, okay? So needed a more manicured look. That kind of confused me because it looks kind of manicured to me. And this one, the top one is your traditional landscape that you'll see in almost every subdivision, except where they had the croton hedge across the front. Only one is alive, so they didn't replace any of them as they died. The bottom one is purely a well-designed Florida-friendly landscape. So here's what happened on the first one. 10 approvals, and other comments included well-kept, Too much grass. Looks like everywhere, a yard in all the subdivisions. So again, some people are starting to see that that might not be the way to go. And then this one, it looked well kept, had color and curb appeal, but I would like it to have less grass. So from the photo, it's hard to tell, but this house only has a 30% turf area. So really quite little. So when we asked if they had heard anything from Florida Friendly Landscapes, only 9 people out of the 42 had heard of the program, and most of them associated it with the statute. And what the statute says is that if you want to have a Florida-friendly landscape, you have to supply a well-designed, professionally designed by an architect to the HOA, and they have 30 days to respond to allow you to install this yard, install the new yard. So what the HOAs know is that they can't say no, but they don't have to approve it. They don't have to approve it unless it's a well-landscaped design by a professional. So one person knew by law we can't stop them. It is a Florida statute. And then another person said that it was the Southwest Florida Water Management District's program, and it's not. So the University of Florida has something to do there with some marketing on top of it all. Here's a couple more. The native and Florida, and of course we have these quotes exactly the way they say it because it lends credibility to the study, so it's hard to read them. But Florida Friendly, and I don't think they're necessarily exactly the same because some of the extension, some of the, meaning us, some of the things of native plants are, as I grew up here, some plants to me are just weeds. I don't want the real manicured look, but I don't want the weeds, okay? But I do agree with you that Florida Friendly may not be native, but it can be grown if it's in the right spot without a lot of water, without a lot of fertilizer, and do well, but it may not be native. Some stuff that's in Florida Friendly can be invasive. We're pretty sure it's not. And I want it to be a low water use, low or no fertilizer, but look nice, and not be, I guess in my mind, a weed from just being here all my life, things I would associate with weeds. So that is an issue, and we can educate people all you want, but if that's their perception, then they're not going to, you know, change that. One of the emerging things that came out of this is that they think that everything is centered on property value, and so they have an architectural control committee in this one group, and so I have to be the bad guy and tell these people that you know what they're doing. So we have the 30, 60, 90 day notice. So that's that little neon piece of paper that goes on the front door. I want to bring this to your attention and say when you agreed to move here, these are the covenants and to take care of your yard. So what we found in the first study is most people are buying a house and there's 25 pieces of paper on the table. They're signing them all, and all of a sudden 6 months later they go, I signed that, because they didn't realize they signed the covenant with an HOA and the requirements of living there. This other guy said, I think all of us would have to agree that curb appeal is the greatest seller of a home, and if that first sight doesn't have a green, bright look to it, people are most likely to pass it by. So they're looking out for all of that. But there is hope. Regina said, I like my grass green as well, but after spending so much dollars and money behind St. Augustine, I switched it out to Bahia, which is more water conservation. And Cindy said, in Tampa, they're doing the desalination, and I don't think people understand how expensive that process is because we're not willing to do conservation to extend our aquifer for a few more years. So it's a choice. You have your wonderful lawn now, but let me tell you, in maybe later years of your lifetime, but certainly your children's, you're going to have incredible water bills. So she's looking at the price of the cost of water. Some of other research findings on what motivated people to conserve. Some was financial, less demand on the aquifer, environmental concerns, and sinkholes. And Florida is known for sinkhole issues. One of the sub-themes that was very interesting is would not be motivated if the water conservation program came from their HOA. So what unfortunately happens is we have Florida Friendly Landscape agents who use the HOA newsletter to advertise a class on how to do FFL or Florida Friendly Landscapes. So when they see that come on the HOA newsletter, they think it's the HOA, and they're like bound and determined not to do one more thing for the HOA. So we lose having people attend the class to actually learn what to do. All right, so Amber said, there's a very large gap in, I'm just going to call it generational outlooks. This was really evident in a few of them, between the residents that have lived here 30 years and the new residents that are 30 years old. None of this was discussed until the two of us who are younger than everybody else by a minimum of 25 years decided to discuss it and get on the HOA board. And so we are trying to bridge. I'm here tonight, accepted this invitation because I'm trying to figure out how to bridge the format of being understanding for our community of why this works and how your area can be beautiful, even as I misspoke earlier, even without doing a xeriscape, that you can do pockets, meaning pockets of Florida-friendly landscapes. And like Angela, it sounds like you've done, you know, pockets in your yard. So what we're seeing is they need help on how to get a consensus among the neighbors to get this to move. I think that, am I done? Okay, so I think first of all, in the long term, water conservation in Florida is a significant issue. You're gonna have significant growing population in the future. It's the water, all comes from the aquifer, and it's going to be more and more of an issue. So they're starting to see this, and what we saw in the groups is that not everybody was a retired military guy that was 75 years old. Thankfully, they started to have women on there. They had pretty cultural diverse, and the age differences were starting to get to the board to try to make things change. So we're working on it, and we're trying hard. So I think, do I have a question or not?
No,
nope, we're good.
I think there's a question.
Good. Thank you.